I have entitled this lesson today, Trouble in the World. I am not a skeptic. I don't run every time something explodes. I don't get all cranked up by some of the stuff people fear. I'm going to tell you about fear. I can tell you what fear is. I can tell you what hurt is. I can tell you what being in a fire is, and none of that do I want any more of. But I tell you, we live in a world that don't care a whole lot about what's going on in the world anymore. We have an election coming through in November. I don't mess my head with that stuff, but I listen and want to know. Know it or not, we're living in a world right now where sin is growing in leaps and bounds. And those who are evil in this world are pushing on those of us who are in Christ every day. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I am not one of these people who's scared of everything. I'm not scared of that. There was a time when I was scared of a lot of things. But I'm not scared anymore because I have a God who protects me even if I die. I'm still good. Well, you think about a deal like that. You can't beat a deal like that. We have a God on our side and are fully convinced here that our faithful Father is watching over us. Do you believe that? You believe God's watching over us? All of us have things in our lives that we have wished. Boy, I wish I'd never done that. Anybody got their hands raised? I wish I hadn't done that. God hurts when we hurt. Now, He can solve the problem. He chooses to give us information from the Scriptures to give us hope, to give us a vitality to what we are doing. We're not here to just fill a space and say, oh, you know, we've been to church. All of us have things in our lives that we just had not done. And I'm going to be the leading person here who's messed up the most. However, we're aware that we and others are struggling to do right. We know that. That's good. That's to be applauded. If you look at our congregation and others, we could certainly become despondent. In our congregations, we don't want to give up unless we learn the lesson of who, not what, who is doing the work. All I'm doing is talking about it. All you're doing about it right now is listening about it. But God is involved in it heavily. Our congregation is shrinking. But it's not just here. It's all over this country. And there's some of the stupidest things going on in the Church of Christ. I don't know what the Baptists are doing. I don't know what the Unitarians are doing. I'm not looking there. I'm looking right here. We're in trouble. We're in a troubled world, and we've got things going on that's under the table. Every time you have an election, you see the badness come out. I worry less about parties. This party has this thing, and this party has that thing over there. Now, I'm called to choose one or the other, just like you are. I can choose who I wish, and so can you. We're given two choices. We can lay down and do nothing about any of this. I cannot change Washington, D.C., but I have a God who can, and we need to be really aware of that. This is not a paid political announcement. This is biblical sense. We can lay down and do nothing about any of this, or we can plead with the Father, God Almighty, and stay in His embrace. I want you to hear these words. Justification by faith is what we need. Justification, when you are in Christ, the word justification means just as if I'd never sinned. Who in this room would like to know that you can have justification just as if I'd never sinned? I want that. Now, I do bad sometimes. I hang out with a church house full of people who do things bad every once in a while. But with justification by faith, God is in the picture. The world looks at its success as power, position, influence that they can attain at any price and at expense of any person, no matter who they may be. People will take from you in a heartbeat, yes or no. Your car could be out in the driveway one evening and gone before morning. Doesn't it happen? There are thieves everywhere. As a result of all of this, it's become a game to them, these people out there, these evil people. And they measure themselves against others to make themselves look better, though they always measure it against the weaker people. You won't get that on people that's got justification by faith. They are the kind of people who know much less than others, especially about subjects like the Bible, which the more part know little or nothing about. Do you think that's probably true? I'm not beating up anybody. I'm just telling you the facts. Philippians chapter 4, 13. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is big stuff. When we're looking at a passage as a whole, we begin to realize that Paul is in the middle of praising God for the support of the Philippian church when he was really struggling. The Apostle Paul and some of the other apostles, they were marked for death, every one of those guys. And they went through life, not with the fear of death, but knowing that they could die any moment. However, if God gave us that stuff in the Bible, and God gave those people in those days all of that, do you think God could protect them and keep them safe? Though they may be lashed with whips and other kind of things, they kept on going. There's people in the churches today, they just quit. They quit. I used to go to church. That's the terminology. I used to go, but I never got anything out of it. You know what it takes to get something out of it? You got to put something in it. Try that next time you pick up a cup. You're going to get you a cup of coffee, and you got the cup, but you don't have the coffee. That's what it's like. We have to feel what God has given us to do. When we're looking at a passage as a whole, we begin to realize in the middle of praising God, Paul's in the middle of praising God for the support of the Philippian church when he was really struggling. He was just barely getting by. Death was always around him. But he goes on to say that he has experienced what it's like to have plenty and what it's like to have little. Honestly, how many in this room at some point in time has had little and sometimes a lot? All of us. We've all had that. He goes on to say that he's experienced what it is to have plenty and what it's like to have a little. And through the process, he's learned that God has given him strength specifically to pursue His will in his life. So in the context of all of this, God means that no matter what kind of circumstance it is, He will give us strength to do what He is calling us to do. God will always give us that strength. Do you believe that? You got to believe that, or either you got to throw it away. It's encouraging to know that God won't ask us to do something without giving us the strength to do it. You believe that? God says to Paul, go over here and do so and so. Now, he's going possibly to his death to do this stuff he did that we read of in the Bible. God's on our side, and He can make everything abound. He can take the worst situation and turn it into the best of situations. The book of Galatians is largely justification by faith instead of works of law. Towards the end of it, he veers toward the resulting justification by faith as life in the Spirit. How would you like to know and be affirmed that you are living in justification by faith and that you are in the embrace of God and that you have no fear? Nothing can come against you. He moves through some of what life in the Spirit would look like. Then he reminds us that we reap what we sow. You ever had to reap what you sow? I've been on the other end of a leather strap learning that lesson before. I remember one time my daddy had a razor strap and he exercised it up on me and I never said that word again. If you hadn't been whooped by a razor strap, you hadn't been whooped. How many of you here been whooped by a razor strap? Oh, I get the medal. He reminds us that we reap what we sow, and if we sow our flesh, we'll reap our flesh, which is corruption. But we sow with the Spirit, and we'll reap the rewards of the Spirit. The reaping that we have of the Spirit is eternal life. That's what God's done for us. You can't beat a deal like that. Paul continues on with his encouraging us to see that we need to keep sowing in the Spirit because when the time is right, we'll reap a good harvest and we keep our mission always before us. Nothing we do for the Lord is ever wasted. Because God can take the least of what we have and turn it into something huge. You believe that's true? In Galatians 6:7-10, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will he reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we'll reap the harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, we have an opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially those of the family of believers. It's my job to help you, and it's your job to help me. When we have deficits, and every one of us have deficits at some level, somewhere, sometime. We're here to help each other to get by, to get strengthened. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, He took His rightful place of authority at the right hand of His Father. And He also sent the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. You've got all kind of help from the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. If you're in covenant with Jesus Christ, that means that you're His gathering. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't hang out in a text. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. Now, I like the word Holy Spirit. Because if I have the Holy Spirit living in me, what does that make me? Even in my warts and all, what does it make me? Holy. You don't beat a deal like that. I'm going to do this text again because I want you to hear something again. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, it took his rightful place of authority to the right hand of the Father. He also sent the Holy Spirit to dwell inside. I want you to get this. God is living inside of us, and that means that he has given us his righteousness to keep us clean. Are you still going to mess up? Are you still going to blow it some days? Does God say, okay, strike two, three strikes, you're out? But that's not a good place for this, because I live a life held by the Holy Spirit to keep me what I'm supposed to be, even in my flaws. Through him, we're able to receive guidance and discern the will of God in our lives. And through him, we're able to praise the Father more fully and live lives the way that honor him. The Psalm we'll talk about a little bit. David did all of this because he made a choice in his faith with God. We no longer have any need to pay attention to the voices of the world or of the flesh, because the Holy Spirit guides us. You are special. I don't feel like a special person. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I've talked with preachers over the years, and I've been with many of them over the years, different ones, and I've seen some that think they're everything, and I've seen some that say, man, I'm just not making it. I cannot tell you how many times I went to go and sit with preachers that were crying their eyes out because the people he was teaching was throwing him away. That happens. Horrible. Right now, there are places where you can't even get a preacher. Did you know that? Did you also know that if you don't have a preacher, you're not going to hell? Preachers were about telling a story. And sometimes we who are preachers get a little uppity about that and think I'm the best one there. I can tell you right now, I'm not the best one there. I never have been the best one there, but I have taught a bunch of people, even in my inability. Do you know why? The Holy Spirit was part of that. You don't leave the Holy Spirit out of this thing. The Scriptures encourage us with words that give us security, with complete confidence that God will see us through any situation. Psalm 46, 1 through 11. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, for the earth give way and the mountains fall, and the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. He will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. And the Lord Almighty is with us and lifts his voice. And God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. Desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes the war cease at the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This is not a game. God said, I got this thing, and I'm giving it to you. You can't beat a better deal than that. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob, our fortress. Just like David, we could focus ourselves the way he did and gain strength and security to make it through the situation. You're going to hurt. There's things that are going to make you hurt. But if you go back and look, when you find those things and look at them again, then you see a value that said, you know, that helped me. Not then, but it is now. David praises God for his strength of protection and full faith that God will continue to protect him. The psalm we read earlier, part of it, demonstrates a life full of confidence and faith, even when the world seems to be crashing down around us. He did this because he had the choice to put his faith in God. Do you know that the whole deal about all this blab today is having people hear that we have weaknesses, yes, but we also have choices. And the choice is to put our faith in God. Rest of all of that, Psalms is a blessing. It also reminds us that we put our faith in God who will protect us, and that we need to pray with the Word open and allow our God to move in our life. You know, the reason you don't have a Bible is that you should read it. It reminds us that we need our faith in God, and it's going to protect us. Sometimes when we're in difficult times in our lives, we get so caught up in trying to do everything else to make it better that we don't take the time to let God move into our lives. Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord in evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And then Romans chapter 5, which is not any particular verse. Because we've been justified by faith, we can now rejoice in our sufferings because it produces endurance. Because I know that I am in the embrace of God, I don't worry about this stuff. I know what God does. Over the years, I've taught it, I've shown it, I've tried to live it. Did I get it right all the time? No. Do you get it right all the time? What's the answer? No. But we try. Romans 5:5-11. Therefore, since we have been justified, we have peace with God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in our suffering, because we know the sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That means if you're not good, can God, if you're not good, make it right? Has He done that for you? Very rarely will someone die for a righteous man, though for a righteous man someone may dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Since we've been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath in Him? I want to read you one other text. Psalm 27:1-14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of life. Of whom shall I fear? When they advance against me to devour me, it is my foes who will stumble and fall. It won't be me, and it won't be you. It'll be those who will not embrace it. That's good stuff. You got all kind of stuff in the Bible. There's just a world of it. You are in the embrace of the God of heaven. And don't you ever forget it when you get down and you think, I can't do another thing. I can't make it right. so-and-so over here stirring up trouble. Let them stir up trouble. There's scriptures in this book that'll tell you about people who think they can do it themselves, and they end up in a devil's workshop. I love you. I've taught you, been with you, side by side, buried people with you, and all of that. I can't bring any of that back, but I can tell you this, because somebody's dead, it's not over. Because somebody's hurting and said, I just don't want any more of that stuff, they'll come back, because there is a rock of salvation that will not be moved. And the church said, amen.